Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, 27th July, 2024, and it's the 142nd session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisarana Forest Monastery. And I'd like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhammaji Ramakusala Thero for this session. We'd also like to welcome everyone who's participating via Zoom and everyone who's joining via Facebook live stream and everyone who will be possibly viewing later with the recorded sessions. Our program will commence as usual with a Dhamma talk by Banthe and then followed by questions and reports sent in to us by all the listeners. And we will present them to Banthe for his feedback. Our program will kind of be starting with a mindfulness session. My apologies. Practice in session practice of mindfulness, followed by the Dhamma talk and then the questions. And as usual, to begin the session, I would like to welcome Banthe for the in session of mindfulness. Over to you, Banthe.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. Today, we can do a few minutes of mindful walking before our program. For this, you need some space where you can walk in a comfortable manner. Probably like 10-15 steps would do. Once you selected your space, you can start walking. Simply walk in your natural rhythm and try to notice that your body is walking. Try to be mindful of your walking. Initially, you might not feel much, but when you continue for a few laps, you may start to notice the walking sensations, probably the sensations at your feet, the texture of the ground, the temperature, those things you might start to feel. So we try to walk with our attention in the present moment in our walking body. And time to time you get distracted, you get carried away with surrounding things. Time to time your attention goes to thoughts. These processes are natural. But with mindfulness, you can realize that you got carried away and again return back to the simple walking sensations. Again, try to continue a few steps with mindfulness. Again, it might wander, but time after time, you can become aware that you got distracted and return back to the walking sensations or the walking body. So this way, we try to continue mindful walking for a few minutes. You can join the walking session now. Okay, everyone, now you can come back to your seats. That's just few minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea. You can practice on your own and see how to continue and how to progress in this practice. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Pante. So next in the agenda is the Dhamma talk. This week's topic is greed. We are now inviting Venerable Pante to give us the talk on the topic for this week.
Okay, everyone. So this week we have a new topic, and there's this quote related to that topic. So we will take some time to discuss this and see how we can relate this to our practice. Now, when we think about this topic, in a way, this is a hindrance to living our life fully. You may have certain things in your life. You may have certain luxuries, certain things that you can enjoy in your life. But still, the greed in your mind might not allow you to enjoy it fully. You have things, but you are unable to enjoy them because of the status of your mind. So these things happen to us. That's why it is important for us to understand, and it is important for us to train ourselves. If we can let go in our mind, then it would be much easier to enjoy whatever the things that you are having. That's why when it comes to mindfulness, we say it's an invitation to live more, not live less. That's the very idea. Some people think that when it comes to practice, it's about not living your life. It's about, you know, refraining from things. It's about, you know, getting rid of things. That way we think. But in reality, if you know the true practice, it is an invitation to live more, not live less. And you can really train yourself in the practice and see what change the practice will make, what impact that it will create. So that's the very idea of today's topic. You may be living in a distant country. You may be doing certain things. You may be enjoying your life, but still, the status of your mind might not help it. The status of your mind might not allow you to enjoy it fully. You have all the luxuries, but you can't really enjoy them. You have all the necessities to live, but you can't really live in comfort. So that's the very idea when it comes to today's topic. And this says something about, the quote says something about a king, right? It's a nice quote. It says a king who is a big fan of the crown can never be a good king. That's the quote that's in the poster, right? It's a nice quote, and it's a meaningful one. A king who is a big fan of the crown can never be a good king. That's the idea. You may be a king. You may have all the things. But still, you can't enjoy it. You can't be the real king if you are too much of a fan of the crown. Then you end up worrying about it. You end up worrying that you may lose this one day. You end up worrying that the enemies will come and attack you. You end up worrying that all these luxuries one day will vanish. So today you have all of them, but still you are not able to enjoy because of the future fear. You are too much attached to the crown, and as a result, you are not a good king, right? So this is about enjoying the life like a king. If you want to enjoy the life, then this is the way. You have to train yourself. You have to, you know, change the behavior of your mind. With that change, people realize that they are able to live more and more. They do their work. They do the part for their families. Still, they are able to enjoy their life more and more with the support of the practice. That happens when you train yourself. That happens when your mind is able to let go easily. Now, when it comes to this letting go, some people think that it is intentional. Whenever something happens, we say, let go. Whenever somebody is worrying about something, we think that way, we advise. But in reality, that is not how it works. You try to let go, but things will come to your mind again and again. You try to let go of the fears, but the fears will appear again and again. That is the true nature of your mind. So letting go is not intentional. Instead, it will come as a result of the practice. Letting go will come to you as a result of your practice. If you are able to practice, if you mature in your practice, then letting go is a result of that. So that's the very idea. Then whatever the luxuries you have, you can enjoy them without worrying about the future. Even your family members, you can enjoy their company without worrying that tomorrow they might not be there. Right? These things happen. Sometimes you worry too much about your children. You love them. You want to, you know, spend time with them. But these future worries will always trouble you. While spending time with them, you worry that something might happen to them. While spending time with them, you worry that they will leave one day. Right? So these worries are in our minds. And they become hindrances to live our life properly. You are here today. Nothing has happened, but still you can't enjoy their company because in your mind, you're worrying about the future. Whatever the things that you have in your life, you can't enjoy them today because you are worrying tomorrow they might not be there. You can't enjoy something today, you think that tomorrow it might be damaged. So this way, in our mind, these things become hindrances to living. In your mind, you are always reserved. In your mind, you are always worried. So this happens to most of us. That's why it is important for us to train ourselves. We are not training in letting go. That's not what we are doing. Instead, we are training ourselves to be mindful. We try to do mindful walking, mindful sitting, and we try to do our daily activities mindfully. That is the simple training that we have to go through. And if you do that, then as a result, we will have a much better life. As a result, we will be able to enjoy life better. As a result, our minds will easily let go. So that's the very idea. Now, when it comes to the practice, we can introduce it in various ways. Different explanations are there. Different ways we can introduce it. For today's sake, I'll introduce it like this. Now, in our mind, usually we perceive the past. We perceive the future. We say that this is how I was 1 year back. We have photographs to prove it. and we think about the future. We think that these things might happen in the future, these goals I have for the future. So that way in our mind, we perceive past and future. Usually when it comes to worldly norms, people say there is past, there is future, there is present. That way we think that these type of moments, these type of time frames are there. That is how our mind perceives it. But in reality, is there something that is called past? If there is something that is called past, you should be able to go back to the past. Can you visit past? Are you able to do that? When I say visit, it's not imagining the past. It's not recalling the past. If you are imagining in your mind, you are imagining it in the present moment. If you are recalling it, you are recalling it in the present moment. Can you actually go and visit your past? That's not possible. That's not possible. Then same goes for the future. You can imagine about the future. But in reality, the imagination happens in the present moment. While you being here, you imagine about the future. While you being here, you worry about the past. So this is what happens in our mind. Although in worldly terms, we say that there is this past, there is future. But in actuality, there is only now. That's all that's there. Right? So when it comes to this practice, in a way, we are trying to embrace this now. How to embrace? Usually what happens is that we are here. We are in the now. But while being here, we worry about the past. We imagine the past. We analyze the past. That's how we do. You are in the now. While being here, you imagine that these things will happen in the future. You have certain goals about the future. You plan it. So while being in the present, you do that. Right? So this is how our mind works. But when it comes to mindfulness practice, we recommend instead of imagining the past, instead of analyzing the past, instead of worrying about your future, instead of planning the future, simply bring your attention to the now or the present moment. How to bring your attention to that? These thought processes will deceive you. Thought processes will take you to the future time after time. Thought processes will take you to the past time after time. So instead of giving power to the thought processes, what we say is that just bring your attention to a simple bodily sensation. Why? Because body is always in the now. It can't go to the future. It can't go to the past. If you feel your body, then your mind too is in the now. Right? So that's the very idea. In a way, we train ourselves repetitively to bring our attention to the body. While walking, we do the same. While sitting, we do the same. Even in day-to-day activities, that's what we are doing. So we say walk in a comfortable manner. Then try to notice what is prominent in your body. Depending on you, you might feel different sensations while walking. So we say pick a prominent sensation and try to continue your attention with that sensation. Even while being in seated posture, just close your eyes, be present and notice what you feel in your body. You might feel the breathing. You might feel your belly breathing. Whatever it is, whatever the prominent sensation, you try to keep your attention with that. So we pick this bodily sensation while walking or while sitting or while doing day-to-day activities. We pick the prominent bodily sensation, not because there's something magical in the sensation, but instead we can use that sensation to be in the now. That is the whole purpose. When, as long as we are with that sensation, we are in the now, right? So that is the very practice. Even while doing your daily activities, let's say brushing your teeth, if you bring your attention to the now, you may feel various sensations of brushing. You may feel the brush touching your gums. You may feel brush touching your teeth, right? So if you stay with those bodily sensations, then your mind is in the now. This way we train, right? So initially, a beginner, when they start this practice, usually what they experience is that those thought processes that are so strong, that will take them to the past and future. They are not actually taking you to the past. Instead, imagining the past in the now. Imagining the past in the present moment. Analyzing, worrying about the future. Right? So these things happen. So as soon as you start your practice, usually what becomes prominent is these thought processes that will take you to the past and future. And when you experience those thought processes, I'll tell you, it is not comfortable. You feel chaos in this process, right? That way we experience these things are happening. But that's the very beginning of our practice, right? That's how we begin. You should feel this difficulty initially. You feel that your mind is time after time taking you to the past thoughts, imaginations. It is time after time taking you to the future worries, planning. So more and more you start to see these thought processes that will take you to this imagined past or the future, right? So that's that way it is happening repetitively. So in the beginning of the practice, this is what we experience. And it is not comfortable to experience it. It feels so torturous. It feels you are in a chaos. But that's how we start. That's the beginning, right? But when you train yourself, let's say, among this chaos, you are able to observe few steps mindfully. Among this chaos, you are able to observe few breath cycles mindfully. That way you train a little bit. And when you do this training for a while, then you should be able to observe in a witness position, right? So this term, we call it a witness position. Earlier, you were one with that, those thought processes. You couldn't see a separation. But with time, with repetitive practice, you are able to observe this process or the experience as a third person. Or you are able to observe this process as a witness. When your practice matures into this level, in your mind, you start to feel much more comfort. Sometimes you feel this heavenly bliss. Why? Now your mind is more and more in the witness position. When it is in witness position, your mind is somewhat separate from the experience. Some people, they feel it initially in the sitting practice. Initially, they feel it in the sitting practice and they say, I had this heavenly kind of experience for a few minutes. They say that I felt like I was in cloud nine. Just for a few minutes, just for a few seconds, their mind is somewhat separate from this process or the experience. So that is heavenly. When you continue your practice for a while, you start to feel this very much. While being in the walking, you feel this heavenly walk. While being seated, you feel this heavenly sitting posture. So that way, repetitive practitioners, they are experiencing the mind separating somewhat from the experience. Still, the experience is there. Still, the witness or the observer is there. But there is some gap in between two. When you start your practice, there is no gap. You are merged with it. You feel like you are the experience. That's why that chaos troubles you so much. You are the experience. So whenever that experience is troubling, you feel that you are troubled. Whenever that experience is fearful, you feel the fear. Whenever that experience is anger, raging with anger, you feel the rage. Right? What is happening is that you are one with the experience. Whenever experience goes bad, you go bad. But when the experience separate from the observer, when you mature in your practice for a few weeks, then you start to feel this heavenly bliss. Why? Because your mind is somewhat separate, at least keeping some distance from this process or the experience. That's a good period for you to experience the bliss of this practice. That's a good period that will create motivation in you for you to continue with this practice. For the first time, maybe for the very first time in your life, you are experiencing how the mind is separating from this process. Earlier, the process was you. You were one with the process. Now the process is different. You in a witness position. Right, so that is more like the second type of experience that you will have. Then more advanced meditators, maybe like when they do few months of practice, they start to feel another experience, which is more like there is this observer or the witness, but there is no experience. The witness is there, but there is no experience. Let me recall the very first one. The witness and the experience, they are both one, merged, that we named as chaos. Then the second experience is witness and the experience is somewhat distant. That is more like heavenly. But one day when your mind, even for a few seconds, go beyond the experience, there's this witness, but there is no experience. And when there is no experience, you can't reflect while being in that moment. Why? For you to reflect, there should be an experience. Without that, you can't reflect. So while being in that status, maybe for a few minutes, few seconds, only the observer is there, only the witness is there, no experience. So those few seconds, those few minutes Although you are there, you can't reflect during that time. Only after getting up from that experience, you realize that I was there with some weird status, but I couldn't reflect while being there. So you feel like there was a gap in your life. It feels like a gap. Let's say even at night, if you go into a deep dreamless sleep, then you feel like it's blank, it's a gap. You wake up the same moment that you fell asleep. You don't experience the in-between, right? So same goes for this. The meditators, when their mind goes beyond the experience, they realize there was a blank period. There was a gap. Only after getting back, getting up from that experience, they recall and say, I was blank for a while. Right? So this is more like the third type of experience. Now, this third type of experience is life-changing. Why? Maybe for the very first time, you realize that your mind is separate from this experience, and your mind has the ability to go beyond this experience. In other ways, we can say for the very first time, you are experiencing timeless. Time is not there. The concept of time is not applicable. And when you experience that, it's always life-changing, because we have been living our whole life thinking about the experience. We want to preserve the experience. That's why I said earlier, you can't live your life because you are too much attached to the experience. You have all the things that you need, but you are not happy. Why? You worry about the past, you plan the future, you think that those incidents might happen in the future. So that way, you are always too much worrying about the experience because you are one with that. But when your mind separate from the experience, when your mind goes beyond the experience, it is life-changing because you yourself feel that there is something greater. This mind has much greater capacity than the experience itself. And it is life-changing, and it will allow you to live your life more and more. Why? Because in a way, you know that this is not real that much. You know that this is only an experience. While being there, you don't have to worry about preserving it. You don't have to worry about making sure that it's there tomorrow. Right? So that way, when you mature in your practice, you realize your mind lets go much easily. It is not intentional, but as a result of the practice, you feel you are living more and more. Let's say whatever the meal that you have in front of you, you can enjoy it without worrying about something else to eat. Whatever the time you have with your family members, you can enjoy them fully without worrying about tomorrow's issues or making sure that they are okay tomorrow. Right? So this way, we are allowed, or we can live our life more and more. And that way only we can really enjoy life. You are the king, and you know how to be the king. You are not too much attached to the crown. Instead, you live your life like a king, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea. Let's say sometimes you go somewhere traveling, right? You take air tickets, you spend so much money, you gather everything, you go. But can you go there and simply enjoy that sight or the leisure? In your mind, you are always worrying about something. Maybe you are worrying about things that you left at home, the safety of those things. Or maybe you are agitated or angry about something that happened along the way. Or you are angry about something a family member said. So although you are in this luxurious place or beautiful nature, you can't enjoy it because your mind is worrying about something else. You have spent so much money, came all this way, but still the vacation is not really a vacation. These things are real. These things happen to us. After spending so much time, money, still you can't enjoy it. Some people, they are worried about posting these things on Facebook. So while being there, they try to record everything. It's funny, you know. You go to a concert, paid so much of money to go there. All the people, they are taking their phones out and, you know, recording. They know that they'll get a better recording on YouTube or somewhere, but still they are recording themselves. Everybody is a cameraman. And in the meantime, they are missing the concert. They're missing the concert, right? They are occupied on their phones and how to do this recording properly. That's funny, you know, that's how we live. You can see the sarcasm there. You can see how people avoid living their life fully. Right? So that happens to us. This is how we live. We always worry about something else while being in the now. But when you go beyond this experience, it is much easier for your mind to let go. That is why I said it's life-changing. In a way, when you go beyond the time, when you experience the timeless, it would be much easier for your mind to stop worrying about the time. What is time? Time is imagined past, imagined future. That is time. In reality, there is no past, there is no future. We have a collection of nows as memory. Right? So that way, we worry about time a whole lot. But when you experience timeless in your mind, when you know that there is this experience without time, where the time disappears, where the time vanishes, then it'll be much easier for you to let go of the concept of time. It is mind-made. This concept of time is mind-made. You have all those memories. That's why you recall it as past. You have all the planning for the future goals. That's why you recall it as future. But in reality, there is only now. Nothing else is there. And if we know how to appreciate this now, if you have experienced this, then it'll be much easier for us to really live our lives. So that's the very idea of this process or the practice. It won't come to you suddenly. You can't just, you know, magically create it. You have to earn it through the practice. we can tell you about the practice, but nobody can, you know, push you through the practice. You have to do your part. You have to do it on your own. Nobody can take you through the practice. That's not how it works. Instead, you yourself has to put some time, effort, and daily continue for a few minutes and try to maintain it. Try to, you know, continue that practice for a few months, few weeks. Then you yourself will experience the change. How the practice is changing your life. You yourself will experience. And when you experience, you don't need somebody else's word for it. And most people, they just, you know, read these textbooks and they think that when they go through those sentences, they are done. Some people, they read the sutras, those teachings, and they say, okay, the practice has 16 steps. Starting from attention to your body. So they go one by one, go through the sentences. And soon, within like 15, 20 minutes, they are done. They say, okay, I have covered everything. I have covered the whole process, all 16 steps I have covered. But that's not how it works. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. Instead, you just sit. You sit and see what is becoming prominent. You walk for a while and see what becomes prominent. It's a gradual practice. You have to experience is different than the text, right? So in reality, when you practice, you experience it differently, not according to the text. Instead, the real experience is different. They say they give this analogy of, you know, salty taste to explain this. They say, can you explain the taste of salt to somebody who has never tasted salt? You can use so many words. You can try. You can write pages and pages, but still you fail to convey the real experience. Why? Because they haven't tasted salt. But let's say you get a pinch of salt and put it on their tongue, then suddenly they realize, okay, this is what salt is. Suddenly they realize this is the thing that you have been explaining in all these pages. But in reality, the real experience is totally different. So same goes for the practice. The guidelines are in the text. It's correct. But still, when you go through the practice, you experience it differently. Right? So the proper way is to stop worrying about the books and simply start your practice. Just walk for a few minutes, sit for a few minutes and see what becomes prominent. See how you can maintain your mindfulness. Then come back with that experience. We can discuss it. After discussion, you can again go and practice. That day, if you can continue for a few weeks, few months, then you realize this training is life-changing. You don't have to do it for so long. Instead, within few months, you can realize. But you have to get proper instructions and you have to do practice properly. I find so many people, they have been practicing for years on end, but still no real impact. Why? Because their practice is wrong. They haven't taken the proper advice. Without proper advice, without proper way of practice, no transformation will happen. unfortunate, what to do? Right? So you have to make sure that you are practicing correctly. You have to make sure that you are getting proper advice. If you do, within few months, you can experience the life-changing effect of the practice. Right? So that's the idea. This is an invitation, especially today's topic. It's an invitation to live your life more. Right? Changing your mind, and you'll be able to live your life more fully. I hope these words help. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante, for that wonderful speech on talk on greed and to start living our lives without worry. Next on the agenda, we have the reports and Q&A. For that, I will invite Anupama to start the session.
Thank you, Sonali. Sarai Bhante. I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I'll start with the report, shall I, Sonali? Or do you want me to give the introduction for the mindfulness for beginners? Sure, sure. So I think the screen will be shared soon for the mindfulness for beginners introduction. Most of you are already familiar with it, but we will go through it for the benefit of those who would like a recap. As you can see on the screen in front of you, there are some YouTube clips for mindful walking and mindful sitting. Kindly go through those so you get appropriate guidance on how to do these activities. We would suggest that you allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness with walking and sitting. And when you've completed 2 hours of each practice in total, we invite you to write a reflection report. This can be presented as a question or statement. We will read your report weekly at these sessions so that yourselves and other people attending these sessions will benefit from your experience and report. The information on how to write the report is in front of you. Once you have done so, you can submit it either via email or Google form to us, and then we will read it at the weekly sessions. I think Bhante, in his very valuable talk as well, explained about the benefits of practice and gave you the appropriate guidance. So I hope it all helps. I will now move on to the reports for today. We have a couple of reports. The first one is from a 13-year-old, walking meditation. Wind more prominent during walking one way and less prominent the other way, like it was pushing me one way and pulling the other way. Slippers moving and wobbling uncertainly when I put my foot up. I felt the gradient of the path change from positive to negative as I walked both ways. End of report. Bhante, that was the report for the 13-year-old. Would you like me to move on?
Yeah, that's very nice to hear a report from a 13-year-old, because the younger generation, they need this. They need this in their life because they are growing in this technological age. Technology, among technology they grow. So there's this more tendency to, you know, get lost in the technology, in the thinking thoughts or imagined past and future instead of the present. But when you bring your attention to the present, you feel simply feel the wind. You feel the surroundings. You feel the sun that's out there. You feel the birds. You feel the nature. So that's where we can really live. Otherwise, we are creatures who are worrying in our mind like zombies. Those zombie movies, they give an idea, right? So you have to make sure every day, at least for like 15-20 minutes, try to do this walking and simply enjoy the moment. Enjoy the wind touching your against your skin. Enjoy the surrounding sounds. And among all these things, you can feel how the body is walking. Try to notice that as well. Because it's always we can't feel the wind, always we can't feel the surrounding. But even when you are walking in a city, you can feel the body. Right? So it's important that you notice your body as well. And let the wind come, let the sounds come, let the thoughts come, let the surrounding be seen. Among all these things, you are walking and you are utterly present. Present to this now. And in this movie, they say, I think that's Kung Fu Panda or something. They say that yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Right? So this is an invitation to accept that present that's offered. Try to do. Try to do, and we are so glad if you can report again after practicing for a few days. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante. I will now move on to report number 2, which is from an adult. Mindful sitting. Noted prominent breath near nostrils. Various thoughts and memories arose like waves, and proliferation took place. Although the attention would return to breath for a while, the mind was becoming increasingly restless. More effort used in this session to guide the mind back to primary object. Noted irritation. Recognized it was due to the arising of many thoughts and memories. Although these faded away, similarly ones arose repeatedly. Tiredness felt in mind and body. Sensation of rise and fall of stomach felt. Sat for just over an hour. Mindful walking. Walked on wooden floor at a regular pace. Attention moved to feet movements at the beginning. After some time, the pace had slowed down. Noticed less details of feet movements. Although thoughts and feelings would come up, the awareness of the walking body was prominent. Walked for 45 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Felt unwell most of this week. Took few days off work and rested. Noticed various aches and pains arising and passing, only to recur the same again. Having become familiar with contemplation of feelings, especially the painful ones, during illness in the past couple of years, it was easier to continue to watch and rise. It was easier to continue to watch the rise and fall of pain. Family members shared the housework, felt grateful. I have a question regarding feeling like a robot in the past 2 weeks. Activities taking place and duties done, although much of it feels automatic. My guess is there is less energy in the mind, but would like to have any feedback from Bhante. End of report.
Okay, if I start with the first part, now in your sitting, right, you say it was tiresome, right? You are struggling to return back to the primary object time after time among all these thoughts. Now, when I hear your report, it's clear that you know what's the primary object. You know how to return to it. right? You have matured in your practice somewhat. So for that type of a person or a practitioner, we advise, let these thoughts come. Don't try to, you know, push them away. Don't try to suppress them. Instead, these hundreds and thousands of thoughts, they appear, time after time appear. Don't start a fight with them. You are going to lose. Right? So you have to allow these thoughts to come. It's a healing process that's happening. Sometimes, you know, some deep emotions might appear. It's a healing process, right? So you have to go through this healing process. How to go through? Let the thoughts come and go while you being mindful that you are breathing, while you being mindful that you are walking. Time to time, you can return back to the breath, but you can't stay there because of the thoughts. That's fine. Thoughts take majority of the attention. That's fine. But you know you are aware. You know that you can return back to the breath. Yeah, have that confidence and, you know, just let these thoughts come and go. It's a healing process. Sometimes deep emotions, like emotional wounds kind of things appear. Most people, they don't like to face these things. They feel like, you know, suppressing them. But in reality, if you want to go through this healing process, you have to allow them to come as well. Right? They will come. They will stay for a while. They will vanish. Again, they will come. Again and again, these things come like waves. Waves. Right? Just let them come. It's a healing process. If you go through this healing process, then you realize you are not no longer weighted down by these emotional wounds that are stuck in us. They are not surfacing. We can't feel them, but they are there. They are always changing our behavior. They are like a heavy load in our baggage. Always influencing us, always changing us, always not allowing us to live fully. But we don't know that they are there. But the practitioner, they start to experience these things, sometimes as thoughts, sometimes as emotions. They start to experience these things. So it's a healing process. It's a healing process. And if you go through this healing process, you realize your baggage becomes lighter and lighter. And when it is lighter and lighter, you can easily function, make proper decisions, enjoy the life more and more. Right? So that's the idea. This is a good period. This is a good healing process that's happening. Let it happen. That's the first thing I want to mention. Then the second one, you are asking about the day-to-day. You feel like automated, like a robot. So you ask the question whether it is because you are sick or not feeling well. Sometimes that could be the reason. Sometimes certain phases of the practice, you can feel this as well. Right? In our mind, we are not always lively when we go through the practice. Certain periods, much valued periods, might appear like this. Right? So we are always energetic when we are with thoughts, emotions. But the thoughts, emotions, when they fade away for a while, for some period, then we feel lack of energy. So these things are the motivators. Right? That's why that new age motivation crap, they always recommend thinking, making goals, you know, working 24/7, powering through. So that's how they say, be like a lion. That's how they say. And at the end of the day, you are depressed. Or you kill yourself. That's what happens, right? So instead, when you go through this type of a practice, you realize certain phases, certain periods, you lack energy. But we try to appreciate it. Why? Because when the thoughts, emotions, when they fade away, you lack energy. But it is temporary. That's what I want to get at. It's temporary. You have to go through these phases. And when you go through, you can really embrace the real energy in you. It takes time for it to come. So this could be due to the sickness you're experiencing, or this could be a phase of your practice. We don't know. Simply accept it and continue. That's the idea.
Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable advice and guidance. And thank you for those who wrote reports and shared with us today. And for all of those of you who participated to make this happen. Now is the time for any questions or any, if there's any comments anyone wants to make, please raise your Zoom hand and we will invite you to unmute yourself. Don't see any Zoom hands raised yet. Ashini, if you can unmute yourself and ask your question. Or make your comment, please. Thank you.
Teran Sanay Swami Nuhansa. Today is the first day I got to know that the flow of thought is a healing process. Could you please elaborate more on that in a way that how is it going to happen for a beginner like that? Could you please elaborate a bit? Thank you, Swami Nuhansa.
So these thoughts come. Sometimes we say train thoughts, chain thoughts, that way they come. There are phases, not always, but when they come, you should just know that this is the healing process that we are going through. You don't have to create more thoughts or more worries, more doubts about thoughts. Then you are following the same process. Simply just go through that. Don't think whether this is the healing, whether these thoughts help the healing. That's not how it works. Instead, you know that you are breathing. You know that you are walking. Just know that sensation and allow the thoughts to come and go freely. Don't fuel more thoughts on the thoughts. That happens to most of us. It comes as a solution, but we create more problems of it. So simply go through. That's what you have to do. You don't have to analyze it that much. Just let the things come and go while you being aware. The breath or the walking sensations. That's your priority. Know your priorities. Then it'll be much easier for you to let go or allow these thoughts to flow. You don't have to analyze them, or you don't have to, you know, check whether this is the healing. Then you are disrupting the healing process.
Thank you, mates, for you, Swami Nuhansa.
So, Bhante, my understanding from that is that you just watch it in a non-judgmental manner as it arises and passes, and not to engage with it further.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yes. So usually we are either in this extreme or that extreme. What is this extreme? We are fueling the thoughts, you know. We get lost in the thoughts. That is one extreme. Then the other extreme is that we suppress the thoughts. That too is not helping. Both are the same. Right? Earlier you were attached to the thoughts. Now you have aversion towards them, right? The middle way is simply allow them to come and go naturally as a bias or as an addiction. We judge. That happens. Although you say non-judgmental, naturally we judge. Then know the judging as well. Knowing is the process. So know the thoughts. Sometimes you judge. Know the judging. Then maybe there's judging about judging. know that as well. That's how it is, right? So simply awareness is the solution. Awareness is the key. Among all these things, you are aware. We can't stop the judging. It happens. So you have to allow that part as well. Our natural reactions are there, no? For these thoughts, we have these habitual reactions. So the reactions will come although you don't want them. So when the reactions come, you can't get caught in that. And so know that these thoughts are there, the reactions are there. Maybe even a reaction about a reaction is there. So that's the process.
Thank you, Bhante. That was very clear, the explanation, and very helpful. Anybody else who would like to ask a question or make a comment? I think that may be it for any questions today. There's no more Zoom hands up, Sonali, so I was wondering, shall we conclude the session or do you have anything to say? As there are no further questions or comments, I think the session for today has come to conclusion. Thank you to everyone for your participation. Without you, this session would not have happened. And as always, much merit.